I want to take as my text these two words from verse number 2, entertain strangers. Entertain strangers. Now, verse number 1 of chapter 13, the Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Of course, that comes hard on the heels of the words of verse number 29, for our God is a consuming fire. And so, we have in the book of the Hebrews a tremendous passage, a tremendous portion of Scripture, in which the writer is given a number of strong arguments. And through those arguments, he has given the evidence, he has proven the fact that Jesus Christ, of course, is better than the angels. Jesus Christ is better than Moses. Jesus Christ is the all-sufficient Savior. Jesus Christ is the one all-sufficient sacrifice for all sins. Then also we have through the Scriptures, through the book of Hebrews, the teaching of the fact that Christianity is better than the traditional Jewish religion, and also the fact that the New Covenant is better than the Old Covenant. And so we have these great teachings in the book of Hebrews, but when this book of Hebrews was presented, when the people received this book of the Hebrews, it may have been that among both the saved and the lost Hebrews that there was no small dissension and disputation as the Bible speaks of in the book of Acts in chapter number 15. And some of those people may have still been greatly struggling with this idea of pulling away from that old system, pulling away from the old covenant, moving to the new covenant, moving to Jesus Christ and Christianity away from the traditional Jewish religion. Now the Lord, of course, in this book is given very strong arguments. If you'd have lived in that day, if you'd have been of the persuasion that perhaps we need to stay with the old covenant, we need to stay with traditional Jewish religion, then maybe this would have been what it took to turn you away from those things to Christ and Christianity and the New Testament or the New Covenant. Now, the Bible gives us those words, let brotherly love continue. And following that, there are a number of things that, of course, are in keeping with let brotherly love continue. First of all, hospitality for strangers. Secondly, sympathy for sufferers. Thirdly, fidelity to one's own spouse. Number 4, contentment with such things as you have. Number 5, commemoration of spiritual leaders. And number 6, stability based on sound doctrine. I was thinking about actually dealing with the first 3 of these found in verses 2 and 3 and 4. But to be honest with you, the way it's looking, here's where I'm going to be. Verse number 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, hospitality for strangers. What would that have to do with this writing to the Hebrews? Notice, if you will, in James chapter number 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greeting. Notice those words, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible speaks of Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, we might consider those that were of the Hebrews that had been scattered, and I believe that there were different reasons for the scattering. In the book of Acts, in chapter number 18, in verses 1 through 3, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded that all Jews depart from Rome, and was come unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation there were tent makers. Now here the Bible talks about Paul and Aquila and Priscilla. And so we might consider different reasons why people of the Hebrews had been scattered. First of all, of course, there had been the great punishment that had come upon the people of Israel. They had rejected Jesus Christ. There had been the destruction of the temple, and so on. There would be the destruction of the temple in time. And so there was the movement of the Romans and against Jerusalem, and the actions of Rome against the Hebrews. In fact, the Bible says here that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. All Jews, not just saved Jews. All Jews. And so there was a persecution that had risen. Saul, of course, was part of the persecution, so that he made havoc of the church, and the Hebrew people had been scattered. There had been, of course, the opposition, the contention between Rome and the Jewish people in general. There was the punishment that had come upon Israel because they had rejected Christ. And so I believe there were a number of reasons why the people of Israel had actually been scattered. In fact, if you will, go to the book of 3 John. Let's start out with 3 John first. The book of 3 John. As a result of the people being scattered, the Hebrew people may have had opportunities and occasions along the line to entertain strangers, where people would come to their house, perhaps that had been displaced by the Romans, displaced by persecution of the church, displaced by famine. Remember that which was prophesied by the Apostle Paul. And so you might think about people being displaced for different reasons. Look, if you will, in the book of 3 John, and beginning with verse number 5. The Bible says there, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers in the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." And so in this case, we might think about not only those that had been displaced, perhaps because of famine, because of the persecution of the church, because of the opposition of Rome against Jewish people, but in addition to all of that, those that were going out to do the work of God. And sometimes the Hebrews may have had the opportunity to take in those that had taken nothing from others, but had gone out to do the work of God, to preach the gospel of God, and they could stay in one of those Hebrews' houses for a while, and then move on from there, be brought along, carried along, as it might be said, by the help of those Hebrews. In fact, notice, if you will, in the book of 2 John. In the book of 2 John. And 2 John, beginning with verse number 7. "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And so we might think about people taking in those that had gone out as missionaries to preach the gospel, but there was a danger that there might be some that would not be out there preaching the gospel, instead would have the spirit of Antichrist be opposing the gospel, teaching a false gospel. Therefore, those people were not to take those into their house. They were not to bid them Godspeed. In our day, we might say, God bless you. We were not to hope that they would be well sped along in their work if they were out there spreading false gospel. And so, we have this idea of entertaining strangers. It is true that the Hebrews may have had many occasions to entertain strangers that had become strangers, that had become scattered abroad, or that simply showed up at their places, their houses, for a variety of different reasons. And I believe that when somebody came like that, it was good for them to use the proper caution in taking them in. We might consider, for instance, a letter of commendation. We find this referred to in the Scriptures in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. And so we might think of some being sent out by the Apostle Paul, coming to some house, to some church, and having with them a letter of commendation from the Apostle Paul. And of course, with that, it may have relieved the fears of someone taking them into their home and also supporting them, the church supporting them, the people supporting them. A letter of commendation. In the book of Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is of the church, which is at Centuri, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of. For she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also. And so we have this Phoebe and a commendation by the Apostle Paul. There's Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter number 2, verse 29. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Now, I think there needed to be some caution on both sides. In that day, let's say somebody that was scattered abroad. That was a stranger. And he went to a house. In the house, they may have had some questions about the person that had come to their door. They may ask some questions if it came to a church about who this is that has come to our church. Is this person legitimate? Is this person a good person? Is this a person that is carrying the gospel? And so, I can understand there being a question. As far as entertaining of strangers, I think it is good for there to be a proper caution. When you take somebody into your home, that's taking a tremendous step. I remember, there's a fellow came here years ago. In fact, and sometimes people may wonder why I lock my door. Well, I've been walked in on before. A fellow walked in and he went to my office, and so he ended up staying for the service. And after the service, there was a fellow here that offered for the man to come home with him. He was going to feed him, and he offered to give him some work the next day and to pay him really a nice amount of money for the next day, and the fellow refused. And in fact, the fellow went out here, and I think on the way out, he said something to one of the children about get out of his way, and he said he could go down the road and put up his hood. Now, when it comes to entertaining strangers, when it comes to trying to help people, I understand there being a proper amount of caution. And I've read about Mr. Peter Cartwright, and certainly everything about him wasn't good. All the stands he took wasn't good. But on the other hand, he was a traveling preacher. And so along the way, he may stop here and there, stay at homes along the way. And it seemed that one of the things that he would do was he would have prayer time or some kind of a Bible time, either he would join in with people that were in the home, join in with what they were having, or he, in another case, he might initiate some kind of a prayer time, maybe a little Bible time, some singing or whatever. Now, if you have someone into your home and you have Bible time, I don't know how many of you have Bible time on a regular basis in your homes. And I think it is so good to have a regular time of Bible study in your own home. And if you have somebody in, if you have a stranger, so to speak, that comes in and you have Bible time in your home, well, that sometimes that may show where the person does stand. You may get a feel for them, and especially in a situation like that, you may get a feel for what kind of a person that really is. There are different ways that a man may check on an individual. And by the way, I believe caution on both sides. Jesus Christ sent the 12 apostles out. And when He sent them out, He said in the book of Matthew, chapter number 10 and verse number 11, "Into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and therein abide till ye go thence." And so, they were to ask who is worthy. They weren't to ask who's wealthy, but who is worthy. Amen. And I can understand there'd be some caution there. I just don't want to just go into anybody's house, but I'd rather go to somebody that's worthy, that's got some spirituality about them, somebody that would be good to spend time with. And so, this idea of entertaining strangers. I'd read about one man that received a stranger on a Saturday evening. And as they had a kind of a Bible time, in the course of the time, did not give a lot of detail, but it may have been something came up about the commandments. And the man said that there were 11 commandments. And the man referred to the new commandment. Of course, the new commandment spoken of in the book of 1 John, or he may have actually been referring to the book of John, but the new commandment. We have the old commandments, the Ten Commandments, but then we have the new commandment, and we are to live like Jesus lived. And we are to love like Jesus loved. And so, the new commandment. So he spoke about the 11 commandments, and it impressed the host. And it came out that this man that had come was a Mr. Usher. And I suspect it was the James Usher that was one that calculated the dates. That so often in Bibles you have dates. And the calculation, for instance, of creation at 4004 B.C. and right on along the line. The one that was so studious in calculating those dates and the entertaining of strangers. There might be sometimes somebody could come that would be very helpful to you. I know as I'm dealing with this, it may seem as though this is somewhat irrelevant. For the Hebrew people, how did they know who would show up at their door? How did they know that somebody wouldn't come to their door that perhaps had been put out because of persecution? The Apostle Paul, before he saved, making havoc of the church, entering into every house. And the people scattered abroad. And so who knows how many of them ended up at strangers' doorsteps wanting a place to stay for the night. Amen. And so, this idea of entertaining strangers, I believe it was relative then, but I believe it's relative as well now. Yeah. Now, I want you to consider a few things. There is a need. There is a need for caution. And we might do some things to protect ourselves, and of course leaning upon not only the Word of God, but the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Hebrews were to entertain strangers, number one, in memory that their people had been strangers in Egypt. That's one of the things that you find taught in the Old Testament. Even after they had left Egypt, been gone from Egypt for a while, I believe that there was to have been a kindness towards strangers because they had once been strangers. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34, "But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19. "Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." That's why I believe it was good in memory of the fact that they were strangers. I imagine that when Joseph and Mary and Jesus went down into Egypt, it may have been a very trying time, strangers in a strange land. We are to entertain strangers as God gives us the occasion, opportunity to do so. I do think it's right to use some caution. But the Lord, of course, used people to entertain those strangers, the Israelites, in years gone by. And so in memory of that, in memory, the Hebrews were to entertain strangers. Then number two, because of the teachings of Jesus. Who was it to help the Good Samaritan? I'm sorry, who was it? Who was it that the Good Samaritan helped? Let me get my question turned around. It was a stranger. Now, apparently, he didn't know the man. But he helped the man. And the Bible speaks, Jesus said concerning that being kind, that kind of a neighbor, "Go and do thou likewise." The Bible teaches us about the judgment of nations. "And the king shall say to the sheep on his right hand, Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in." Then in Matthew 25, verse 40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of one of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Now, there's a teaching of Jesus. Like the Good Samaritan, we are to go and do likewise. The scripture that we have in Matthew 25 concerning the judgment of nations does not teach works for salvation. Now, I know some people may say that teaches works for salvation. That's not what it is teaching. I believe that the setting for Matthew chapter number 25, the judgment of nations, is after the tribulation period. The tribulation period, a time in which, at least partway through the tribulation, a time in which that a person was to have the name or the number or the mark of the beast in order to buy, sell, and trade. A time in which there is such a strong spirit of Antichrist. A time in which I believe there were probably many that were naked and thirsty and hungry. Many persons, it shall be, many people that shall go through tremendous hardship during that time of tribulation. And during that time of tribulation, I believe that many people may want to distance themselves from anyone that claims to be a Christian and refuses to take the name or the number or the mark of the beast. But thank the Lord, I believe there'll be some that are brothers in Christ, saved by the grace of God, that'll be willing to take those strangers in. That'll be willing to give to those hungry ones and those thirsty ones. I believe it'll be a sign that a person really is saved if they are willing to do that kind of a thing. In our day, if you take Matthew 25, that portion of Scripture, and you try to apply that to our day, you can find lost people that'll be willing to give food to somebody that's hungry. I mean, saved or not, you may find lost people that are willing to give something to them and take them in. But if it was such a spirit of Antichrist in our day that there would be persecution and even death if someone took in a person that claimed to be Christian and would not receive a mark. Well, I think you can see a different situation then. You might find some lost people that would say, I would give you something. I'm not endangering my family. I'm not endangering myself. I believe it would be a great sign that a person's really saved if they're willing to help the hungry, the sick, the naked, those that are in prison. They're willing to entertain strangers that claim the name of Jesus Christ. And so, we have the teachings of Jesus. I believe in our day, it's good for us to have that kindness. Yeah, and just as Jesus said concerning the, in relationship to the parable or the story about the Good Samaritan, go and do thou likewise. Who is my neighbor? Instead of asking, who is my neighbor? Why don't we ask, who can I be a neighbor to? And I think there was that attempt to narrow this down. How few people can I count in that circle of neighbors? Why not broaden this out? How many people can I help be a neighbor to? Go and do thou likewise. And so, in memory of the fact that the people had been strangers in Egypt, number two, because of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Number three, especially because of the present distress. Now, there's different situations that were going on at that time. I suspect there were probably maybe even an abnormal amount of refugees, people that were strangers from Israel in different parts of the world. Then number four, because of the need to speed the gospel preachers on their way with the gospel. That was another reason. To take them in, those that were saved by the grace of God in spreading the gospel, I believe it was to have been the desire of the people to speed them on their way. God, speed. I want you to get on down the road. Do the work God wants you to do. Amen. I'm willing to give you a place to stay. I'm willing to give you some food and give you some help. But I want you to go on about the work of God. And so I think because of that, it was good for them to be willing to entertain strangers. But now I'm finally getting to the reason in the text. The Bible says in the text itself, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. There were the three strangers that came to Jesus. I'm sorry, there are three strangers that came to Abraham. Let me get my story right. Three strangers that came to Abraham. The Bible talks about Abraham. He ran to meet them. He bowed down. He requested that they not leave. He hastened to the tent. He told Sarah to make ready quickly cakes. He ran to the herd, got a calf, hasted to dress it. He served the people. It seems that he was so willing to entertain them. I don't know if there's any indication that he knew that one of them was the Lord, at least at the beginning, that one of them was the Lord and two of them were angels. It seemed as though there was such an eagerness, such an enthusiasm about getting things ready, doing things for them. He got his wife involved, got a servant involved, getting things ready for these strangers, so to speak. Now, of course, the story goes on, and I believe it was the two angels that left Abraham and the Lord, and they went on to Sodom. And the Lord was there with Abraham, and Abraham pled for Sodom. And of course, he went through the numbers and so on, but he pled for Sodom. And then finally the Lord left. But those two angels went on to Sodom. And there, I believe, Lot entertained angels unawares. Lot, of course, he took them in. One thing I think is curious about that particular situation, we don't have any mention of Lot's wife getting involved. But as far as Sarah was concerned, Abraham went to Sarah. We don't have any mention of Lot's wife being involved in the preparation. And yet, there was a feast made, and of course, the Sodomites came to the door, and of course, the Scripture tells about how that Lot, he made that terrible offer of his two daughters to the Sodomites, and the Sodomites actually protected him and led Lot and his wife and his two daughters away, and they could have gone on to safety, but Lot's wife looked back and turned a pillar of salt. I believe that Lot entertained angels unawares. Now, I believe before it was over, I believe there was an understanding that these were sent by God, but still, he entertained angels unawares. Now, you might say, well, you've gone through all this and it just seems so out of place for today, and I just don't see why there would be any need for this today. First of all, let me say, if you just read history, things can change so quickly. I don't have people coming to my door asking to stay the night. But things can change very quickly. And who knows how many times through history there have been people that have been displaced by war, especially war, and other things, but especially war, that have ended up scattered abroad, ended up wandering up to people's houses, wanting a little bread, wanting a place to lay down. And so things could change quickly. And America is in trouble with God. I know God's long-suffering, and I know sometimes it may seem as though, well, maybe everything's okay. Everything's not okay. America is in trouble with God. The judgment of God shall fall tremendously on this nation. I just don't know if it's going to fall before or after Jesus Christ comes back. But this nation will pay a price. Things could change so quickly, or suddenly there's an invasion. Something terrible happens so that there are many people that are displaced. We just had the hurricane that hit over in Panama City. And how many people were displaced because of that hurricane that hit and all the destruction then? It might be that something terrible will happen and there'll be a lot of people that are displaced and people that need some help. And God may call upon you to entertain some stranger. By the way, the word entertain, we might think about keeping a person, taking a person in, keeping the person, not put on a performance for them, but taking them in. And it might be that something like that will happen. How do you know that perhaps a missionary won't break down right in front of your house? I'm knocking on your door. And maybe didn't have the means right then or needed some help finding something and need to stay somewhere. How do you know something like that wouldn't happen? In our day, there could still be times in which you would have the opportunity and the obligation even given by God to entertain a stranger along the way. And then this idea of entertaining angels unawares. Somebody might say, oh, that wouldn't happen today. Well, we got it right here in this New Testament book. I do believe that there's a possibility that one of us might go through that. It might be that one of us would entertain an angel unaware. I remember, and I'm not sure just where we were right then. Traveling along, and I think what had happened was a vehicle in front of us ran over a piece of metal, and the piece of metal flew up, and the piece of metal came down and hit in front of my left front tire, blew out that left front tire. I pulled off the road, and there was another vehicle pulled in behind me. It was almost as though we were traveling together. And the fellow talked to me, came out, talked to me, helped us. I think he may have given us a ride to some tire place. And I'm going to be honest with you, I wondered about that one. As far as I know, he wasn't. It seemed like there was something that gave me a clue that he wasn't. I don't think angels smoke cigarettes. And I don't think angels cuss and that kind of thing. So anytime you think there's a possibility, you might look for a few clues. But still, I believe there's a possibility you'll entertain an angel unawares. It might even be The Lord knows where we are in our study of the Scriptures. It might even be that soon God will give us an opportunity. I remember years ago I preached a message, and I've referred to it in the past, but I preached a message on consider the poor. And I went through a number of different reasons why people are poor and so on. And I dealt with this idea of the Bible doesn't say contribute to the poor, but consider the poor. If you consider the poor, then you may have your compassion stirred, and then God may lay it on your heart to contribute to the poor. I don't believe we ought to be giving money to every poor person. Well, I preached the message. It seemed like it was an evening service. I don't know, it was Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. Preached the message, had prayer, but as I was having prayer, the door slammed. This fellow walked in, came right up front. And I think that was the one, he actually came twice. He came later on. I think he probably forgot he'd been here. But he came up here, and I think it was that time he pulled up his shirt. He said he'd been shot. I think he may have been trying to get to Louisiana, according to his story and all this. And so we had an opportunity to consider the poor. We need to help them, not help them. What do we need to do? You're here under the sound of my voice. I'm preaching this from this passage of Scripture. I don't know. It may be that one of us will have the opportunity soon. It might be God will send an angel by for whatever reason. And we'll have an opportunity to entertain an angel unawares. Here's a fact. You just ought to do right all the time. Whether it's just an old sinner that needs some help, whether it's a saint in the work of God, whether God sends it an angel unawares, you're just supposed to do right all the time. Amen. And who knows? Who knows? God may, for whatever reason, give one of us an opportunity to experience this kind of thing. And I'm not trying to, you know the idea of finding a devil under every tree and that kind of thing. People, sometimes they think things are bad. They're really looking for bad things. And sometimes something like this, they may really look for angels. I'm not trying to get you to go off the deep end looking for angels. But still, it is in the Bible. I do believe there's a possibility one of us could experience it. For whatever reason. Now, no matter what stranger God sends your way, no matter if it's just somebody that perhaps you just need to just help them out a little bit, there might even be some times when you do need to take somebody in. I advise you to check them out, but it might be you need to take them in. Keep a pistol under your pillow. But it might be you need to take them in. It might be that you just need to help somebody along the way that's in the ministry. It just may show up at your doorstep unexpectedly. And so, be ready. Be ready. Just do whatever God calls you to do. Just be ready. Let brotherly love continue. And along with that, this hospitality for strangers. And I believe that those Hebrew people may have had many opportunities, or the Hebrews may have had many opportunities to help strangers that have been scattered abroad. Well, if you will, please stand. I know.